So would you like to have your Bibles open? I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, most of you know by now that I'm spending these summer months preaching through the 23rd Psalm, and I've said in the past that because it is so familiar, so many people know it, they have sung it at school, in school assemblies, they've heard it read so many times. That kind of familiarity can breed a contempt, so that actually we no longer hear it as we really should. We don't gain the things that we should gain from it. So we've been working our way through it, and although I've got a reputation of being slow in going through my series that I preach on, as you can see, I'm speeding up. I'm already at the fourth verse. We're more than halfway through Psalm 23. So, you know, don't let anybody say anything about, you know, my slowness of preaching through the series which I take on. Well, here we are. We've reached the fourth verse. And a lot of people think that this is not the most uplifting part of the 23rd Psalm. You can look at it for yourself. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. It is not just a dark valley, it's the darkest valley. Here it is. It's a place where evil can be found. It's a place which he has to go through. He's walking through it. In places of evil and darkness, we might wish that we could pick up our pace and run. But he's walking, and he's walking through it. And what I suggest that we do is that we follow him. We get close to him this morning and find out what we can learn for our lives from these words, even. The word even. And then to walk, and then to walk through. And then what is meant by the valley of the shadow of death, or here as it, the NIV has it, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Now, it might surprise you that we have come to this when all that's gone before. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He puts me by quiet waters. I'm in a posture where I'm lying down. He leads me in the right paths. What an extraordinary thing. Is this the same God? Is this the same Lord? Is this the same good shepherd which now takes me as I walk through the darkest valley? Surely he would not allow me to have to walk through the darkest valley of life. But what we want to say this morning is that if this man says at the beginning that the Lord is guiding him, that the Lord is his shepherd, then the Lord is still his shepherd right now when we come to this fourth verse. And it might be like this for some of you, that you might think, well, how could the Lord guide him into a place and be with him when it's a place of such darkness and evil is present and so on and so forth? Surely it would be up on the hilltops where he could be drenched in the sun and all would go well with him. No, the Lord is still his shepherd. The Lord is still with him. And I'm going to show you this morning that a huge part of the Christian life is walking with the Lord wherever life may take you. Now, it's not unusual to take this text and apply it almost only solely to the aspect of death. Now, I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to take it as the aspect of the darkest valleys of life. The vast majority of us are going to have to deal with life. And life is full of dark valleys. So why don't we walk with him and find out what we can learn? First of all, we have this word even. Even though. And it tells us, if we can do this, that we can imagine all possible conditions. It's like this: the shepherd can deal even with that circumstance. So many Christians have a restricted view of God and what he will do for them. No, even. And I think of those things which we see tested in life, which come into our very homes, and they're sold to us on the basis that they will even do this or they will even do that. Let me just tell you, no boasting now, but just to tell you, Henrik and I, we do have a wonderful car and we're very grateful for it. And when we have been on holiday in Switzerland, we've been very grateful for it coming down the steep mountains. Forget home moss and all of that, just not on the same scale. Just forget it. We're talking about something completely different. I remember one year we were coming down the mountain and there had been a very heavy snowfall, really heavy. And in those mountain roads, they don't clear the roads. They expect you to have winter tyres and you to know the roads. But if you put your foot on the brake, the car just begins to slide. There are thousands of feet of precipice on this side and on that side. It's incredibly dangerous. But this car, we can place it into an automatic mode. Don't tell me how it does it. We just put it into this automatic mode. And it finds its way down the mountain without us having to press the accelerator or the brake. And we find ourselves in perfect safety at the bottom of the mountain. It can even cope with whatever is thrown at it, the snow and the ice. It even handles the steepest inclines and delivers us into safety. In other words, it goes beyond. That's the idea. The psalmist God goes beyond. Even though I walk through the darkest, even though I have to go to that place. And that is terribly important for those of you this morning who call yourselves Christians. It's important that we get the idea that the Lord will go beyond what we might expect of him. With the Lord, very often he's saying it's not good for you to have just the sunshine and the bright days and the joy and the happiness. But I want to take you through the danger and through the swamp. And I want to take you through the blackness and the thick cloud and the thunder and the lightning and the uncertainty and the unknown. And I want to show you that even there in that place, I'll be with you. Do you know where you're going? Well, in very much part in our lives, we don't know where we're going. Do I know what's going to become of me? No, I don't. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? There can be no doubt that life has its real darkness. Let's not try to hide from that truth. But even, the psalmist says, even there the Lord can be trusted. I don't trust the Lord in the sunshine and when everything's wonderful only. I trust him in the darkest places. Now that's what he's saying. Now the question arises quickly. Why would he lead me? If he's my shepherd, why must I go through these dark valleys? Well, I think that there are several answers. And the first one, which I've already mentioned, I'm not going to spend any time on. I've done that before. And that is the darkest valley, of course, is death. But actually, it's the valley of the shadow of death in the Authorized Version. So it's not death itself, it's dying. And most people, even people who are Christians, are not afraid of death. They're afraid of dying. And that's why euthanasia will take off, and it will be very big in the future, and it will just be as much a part of our lives as all the other moral changes. I can pretty well assure you of that. But if we ask, why would he lead me there? It would be like this. It's to apply to our lives his grace and his goodness and his person in the darkest places. Think of the Apostle Paul. Think of Job. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. Perhaps it was his body. Perhaps it was mental also. But he suffered very greatly, and he asked the Lord to deliver him from that thorn that was in his flesh, so to speak. It's an illustration. And the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. It's to teach you something in the darkness. And it's exactly the same in Job's life. It's as if that the Lord's goodness often is best displayed, his light is best seen in the darkness. Who sees the brightness of a candle in the daylight? Who, I ask you, who sees the brightness of a candle in the daylight? Is it not best seen in the blackness of night? Of course it is. And when a firework set off, mostly at night so that we can see them. It is for God to say to us, when you are most forlorn, when you are most hopeless, when you are most helpless, I will be there because I know what life is like and you've got to go through it. This is life's journey, friends. And the Lord is prepared to say to us, I'll be with you even in that darkest place. Might I put it to you that when Job's back was so against the wall, it was when he most proved the Lord. The Lord wants us to trust him without our own map, without our own strength, without our own ingenuity, but to trust him no matter what. Can I put it to you like this? He's the North Star, the Lord, in the pitch black darkness, so that we can navigate our way through life. I pity people who are not Christians and have no real faith. How are you navigating through the dark valleys of life? What a challenge. How important is it for each and every one of us to get up from this psalm what the Lord would intend for us. Now, I noticed something else, even though I walk. So just to say something about this, that anyone who is a true Christian is on a walk. It's the Christian walk. Yes, you've made a profession with your mouth. You've believed in your heart and professed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you have believed in him and you have faith in Christ. But the Christian life has to be walked. So easy to talk the talk. This is what is so transparently obvious. The thousands, perhaps the millions today, will attend church who have no Christian walk. It's just about going to church, attending a meeting and then going away. No Christian walk at all. But actually this man, he walks. And every Christian who has a walk, it must be a walk of faith, a walk of life. Not for a few days, but for the rest of your lives. Now this man, I've said in the past, he's not going it alone. He's going it with the Lord. You're going it alone if you're not a Christian. You're on your own. You're walking life by yourself. You'll have to face the deep, dark valleys yourself. This man is already hooked up, if I can put it that way, with the Lord. He's going through the deep, dark valleys with the Lord. And so often what happens, listen to me really carefully now, this seems so mundane and so unimportant, the Christian walk. Oh, it sounds so bland and so boring. I prefer the Christianity that's a roller coaster ride. Ah, yes, but what when the roller coaster comes off the rails and you come off it with it? The word is like this, to walk, because what the Lord wants for every Christian, listen carefully, is to get them to the desired end so that they might finish their course. Does it look bland, the Christian life? Well, at some point you might think that it is. Keep walking, keep walking. Sometimes the landscape changes. I've heard it said that the M1 is very bland and very boring. Actually, I don't think it is. I've got a different take on it as an artist, a rather different take. But the idea is that, of course, when you get on the M6 and you get going up through the Lake District, now that's a proper view. And often Christians are like this. I'm only interested in one view. Where's the roller coaster ride? Ah, listen, the word is this. Don't get out of breath. Don't run, don't sprint, don't crawl. Walk. Keep walking. Keep walking. Just keep walking. And in my own experience of having met the Lord's people over all the years, those Christians who did best were quietly, calmly walking their way through this life and through the very deep and dark places of the valleys of the shadow of death, but they were walking. And I say to all of you, it might look like very basic stuff, walking, but you can take this with you and remember this. Close your eyes for a minute if you want. You can do, boys and girls can do it. Go on, I'll close my eyes. Go on, you can all do it. Everybody can do it. Right. Everybody got their eyes closed. Try running now. Try running in the darkness. Right, you can open your eyes now. Yes, you can open your eyes. Try running in the darkness. Who wants to do it? Who wants to run in the darkness? You're afraid of running in the darkness because you're afraid that you'll run into something, that you'll seriously injure yourself, that you'll knock yourself out. The Lord says to each and every one of us who are true Christians, walk! Have you been attracted by the Big Dipper of the Christian life? It so often comes off the rails. I repeat this. Walk in the darkness of loneliness. Walk through it. Walk through the darkness of loneliness. Walk through the darkness of failure. Walk through the darkness of injustice. Keep walking. Walk through the darkness of hardships and keep walking and keep walking and just keep on walking. Walk through the darkness of persecution. Walk through the darkness of hatred and the bitterness of this world, but keep on walking. I've quoted this many times before, but I quote it to you. Some of you will have never heard this, so I give it to you. Here is part of the address of King George the VI. In his Christmas address, 1939. These are not my words. These are the words of the king, 1939. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness. And put your hand into the hand of God, and that shall be better to you than a light or a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the unknown and into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of the day in the lone east. The Christian life is called a walk. You can walk it hand in hand with the Good Shepherd, even if it takes you through the valley of the shadow of death. You can walk it gladly, and you can walk it with confidence. Friends, it's not like this that the Lord is sort of night vision goggles, because most of the darkness comes during the middle of the day. It comes in bright daylight. So it is the journey of life that we're talking about, the whole of life. So put your hand into the hands of God, and that will be better than a light or a known way. Now, the fourth verse says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. This is a through road. You've got to walk through it. There's no snucking out and saying, I'll walk up over the tops and choose the quickest route. No, you've got to walk through it. What I mean is this, is that the entire Christian life is a through road. And I think that the whole of the Christian life is in part a dark valley. And it has to be lived with. Because you see, the Christian life pits me against the world, and that's a dark place. It pits me against its philosophies and its ideas, its thinking, its friendships, its associations. It pits me against people who will persecute me and reject me and bring hatred against me and so on and so forth. It is a challenge of life that has to be gone through, and for that reason many people will not come to Christ. They know I'm going to have to go through all of this. This is what I will have to go through. My friends will reject me, my parents, my associates, my colleagues, people at work, my neighbours, friends, people who've always known me. I can't go through. That's the point. Yes, exactly. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Let me give you a bit of advice. The Christian life is no escapism. There's no monasticism, there's no hilltop sanctuary. It's got to be gone through. You've got to face up to the present reality. And perhaps the greatest challenges that many of us are not prepared to deal with are the challenges of the presence of evil. Because he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Well, what a challenge now to think about this. Are you afraid of evil? I'm not going to trap you, but I want you to think just for a moment or two while I just preach through this last section. What goes through your mind when you think about evil? That will be interesting, won't it? Evil is found in many, many forms. I think we would all agree with that. What I'm really confident about the truth of the gospel, is that he says, I'll fear no evil. It's all covered. There are no exceptions to him. He's not afraid of any evil that might be brought against him. No evil. So he's in the darkest valley. He's got to go all the way through it. He can't run to get out. He's got to walk it. And now he's got evil to contend with, all around him, so to speak. And we know that evil comes in all shapes and sizes. It's ready to assault every Christian on their journey. But one of the things that I like about this as I read it, he seems to be resigned to the reality of evil. And this is terribly important. He's resigned to the reality of it. Someone here probably says, my colleagues at work, they practice the most vile evil. They speak the most vile evil. They behave in the most vile and evil way. They live the most evil lives. Why, of course they do. What do you expect? They're going to go and live in some monastic retreat? They're going to escape? This man is resigned to the reality of it, and therefore he says, I will fear no evil. Do you not realize that the darkest valley is characterized by sin? It is everywhere. It cannot go away. It is an ever-present reality. And for this reason, I say to all of you as Christians, it's terribly important, young families, everyone, listen to me when I say this. This evil must not make us a people who are on the run. Now this man, look at him. I'll fear no evil. Take a leaf out of his book. Does he look to be a man who's on the run? Who's into escapism? He's saying the Christian can go through the darkest valley and he can face it, whatever the evil is that is thrown up against him. I'm not frightened by it. How many Christians and churches are paralyzed by the evil which is so ever present in our world? Don't you see what's happening in Libya at the moment as I speak overnight? Do you not see what's happening in northern Iraq and in Syria and in Ukraine and throughout the world and everything else which goes with it? Do you think the world is going to get better? Are we, to use a Yorkshire expression, are we that balmy? Are we that far gone that we think somehow things are going to somehow get better? They're not going to get better. This man is facing up to it, and therefore he says, I will fear no evil. For this man, when evil bears its teeth, this man says, the Lord's on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. And I recommend it to you. Not alcohol, not tobacco, no, not judging anybody, promise. Not drugs, not anything. Get the Lord on your side. Walk through life with the Lord, and you'll be able to deal with the questions of evil. Now, I wonder what exactly comes to mind when you think of evil. I gave you a few minutes to think about it. I think I know many of the things which have come to your minds as I've spoken. But I'm pretty certain, I'm fairly sure, of one thing that has not come to your minds with regard to evil. How many of you thought about evil and then thought about money? The Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Whoever thought about the darkest valley and then thought about money? I don't think one of you in this room this morning. I doubt it. And yet the Bible is specific. Money is the root of, or a root of all evil. The shadow of death or the darkest valley will need navigation. It will need the hand of God upon us. Because we need to be bold and we need to be intrepid as travellers on this road which we make through the Christian life. And we will need God's help with regard to the evil which will be brought to bear against us. But how many will be sunk by the evil of money? Many of you will not have thought of it like this. Let me promise you something this morning, not prophetically. Some of you will not go into the kingdom of God just because of your love of money. You couldn't bring yourself to do it. Your money meant everything to you. For some of you, it will already be your God. What an evil. For others, it will be your sole preoccupation. It will paralyze you. It will keep you from heaven itself. I wonder if we have ever thought of the seriousness of the evil that money might lead us into. This man, he says, I can triumph. And now, this man who speaks to you for one this morning would have no confidence to go through the darkest valley into physical death without the Lord. And he would not have any confidence to go through this life with all of the evils which are associated with just this one matter of money. You thought of prostitution, didn't you? Ah, yes. You thought of homosexuality, and you thought of this evil and that evil and the next one. But you never ever thought of money. Of course you didn't. How clever has the devil been to capture people's hearts and minds? It is an allurement. It is meant to tantalize and mesmerize and paralyze. Without the Lord, I would not dare to make this journey. But I can make it and fear no evil. I think it was the Negro spirituals who spoke about the lonesome valley. You've got to go to that lonesome valley. You've got to go there. That lonesome valley is the valley of the shadow of death. And this equalizes all of us out this morning. So whether you hate what I've said or love what I've said, you've got to go to that lonesome valley. Nobody can save you from it, friends. Young and old alike. Put your hand into the hand of God. This is what the gospel is. Put your hand into the hand of the Lord. Put it there by faith. You've got to come with your repentance. You've got to come with your believing in Christ as your only hope. You'll go through the lonesome valley, I promise you. It's going to happen. Through this life, there'll be very much of a lonesome valley that you'll have to navigate with lots of evil in it. You'll need the Lord with you. But you'll need him ultimately in the valley of the shadow of death. So ask yourself as I preach this morning, have I got the Lord by my side? If I haven't, if I'm not walking with him, if I don't really know him, boys and girls, listen to me really carefully. This is never too early, never too late for you to come to the Lord. You must come to him. And come to him just as you are, because you can't change yourself. Nobody can change themselves. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Answer?
No.
It's not possible. Can you change your ways and your nature? No. Go to the Lord and he'll change it for you. That's his work. That's why he's called the Saviour. So that you don't have to go through the darkest valley alone. So that you will fear no evil. Isn't the gospel absolutely wonderful? Isn't it glorious? What a message. It would be a pity if any of you were to hear this and not to become Christians. Wouldn't it? It would be such a pity. Oh, may the Lord bless the truth of his word to every one of our hearts. Speak to us this morning. Amen. Amen.